chapter 11, book of Matthew, chapter 11. We preach this morning from verse 28. We'd like to read tonight verses 28 through verse 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Again, these are the words of Christ, and we need to hear them as coming from Him. They are words of invitation. They are words of instruction. They are words of promise. They are the words of the one who has everything we need. Leading up to the text, we see that they are words filled with long-suffering, compassion. They are the words of the one who is concerned for our spiritual well-being. We need to hear them as such. As we said this morning, these are the words of solution. They're the words of cure. And therefore, they're urgent words. They're very necessary words. They're beneficial words. They really address, as we said this morning, verse 28, no doubt spoken to the unsaved, but we made the application to the saved. And what we have here is the foundation of the Christian life. You get the foundation right, and the exterior will be right. In these words, Christ is saying, I want to deliver you from mere exterior living. And that'll be our subject tonight, Christ's cure for wearisome religion. I want to center our thoughts upon what Christ refers to in verses 29 and 30 as my yoke. My yoke. First of all, there is such a thing as spiritual restlessness, as we saw this morning. There is such a thing as spiritual rest, as we see in our text. The restlessness is addressed in verse 28 by the word labor. It's a labor that just kind of goes in endless circles, not really getting anywhere. And it's a labor that results in being heavy laden. Heavy laden. The word heavy speaks of a force. Speaks of something that is very severe, onerous, stressful, trying. In this case, it's the result of the labor that he's talking about. The word laden conveys the idea of being loaded down, weighted down, encumbered, hindered, obstructed, limited, restricted, slowed. The words heavy laden paint a picture. They paint a picture of that which is very trying, that which is exhausting, that which is very draining, that which is even crushing, heavy laden. Speaks of that which is grueling and maybe even punishing. The words heavy laden paint a picture of sorrow, paint a picture of gloom, that which is miserable. paints a picture. We have here a picture of drudgery, labor, and heavy laden. Sadly, as we said this morning, these words are not limited to the unsaved. They also refer to the child of God, the one who has been saved by the grace of God. You see, the child of God can labor and be heavy laden, can get in this condition the same way that the lost sinner is there, and that is by living the life. Living life as the unsaved live it. And we saw that beginning with verse 16. Christ paints a picture of the generation that he is talking to. He spoke of them as play actors and taking on pretended roles. Speaks of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy will always result in being heavy laden. He spoke of that which is trivial. Again, he compared the generation to children playing in the marketplaces. Trivial games. And when the child of God pursues the trivial, restlessness will settle in. We see pictures them as being there's another group of children that were disinterested, indifferent, and spiritual. Disinterest and spiritual indifference will result in being heavy laden. We see also that, again, they're compared to children. They're fickle. Fickleness results in being heavy laden. They were a people who were living life refusing Christ. There were people living life exiling Christ, banishing Christ from their lives. That's going to lead. That's going to result in being heavy laden. They were a people who were blind to the majesty of Christ. Christ was standing right before them. They couldn't see it. They were blind. They were deaf to the voice of Christ. Again, all of these things, as we said this morning, will result in being heavy laden. We see they were a people who basically who were just unaffected by Jesus Christ. They were unchanged by Jesus Christ. They were uninfluenced by the person of Christ. And again, that will lead to being heavy laden. They were a people who did not enjoy the presence of Christ. Christ was in their midst and they couldn't see it, and they could not enjoy it. They failed to see the spiritual opportunities that were right before them. And all of these things result in being weary, result in being heavy laden. The reason, to sum it all up, the reason that they were heavy laden, the reason their labor was just going in circles, was because they were laboring under the yoke of self. And that will always lead to endless circles. That will always lead to being heavy laden. Here was a people that were toiling. They were exerting themselves under the yoke of self. Under the yoke of self. The consequence, they were heavy laden. And when Christ speaks to them here in verses 28, beginning with verse 28, he does not offer them pity. He does not commiserate with them. Pity is not going to fix them. Commiseration is not going to fix them. He presents himself as the answer, as the cure. And he says, come unto me. And what he's doing, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is offering them power. He was offering himself. He's offering power. Now there's also, not only is there a restlessness, but there's a rest that is referred to in our text. It's twice mentioned. Verse 28, I will give you rest. So there is a rest given. There is a rest given to us by coming to Christ. If an unsaved sinner comes to Jesus Christ, they will immediately find rest. They will find rest. When you and I begin to stray and we come to Christ, we will find rest. There is a rest. There is a given rest. It is a rest given to us in coming to Christ. In other words, it is a result of. In salvation, we received a rest. We received a release and a rescue from the pit of sin. A rest from the alienation of sin. So this first rest that he mentions in verse 28 is a rest from. It is a rest from. Now I believe we have two different rests here. Not all would agree, but I've yet to see anything that would any writing or anybody preaching on it that has changed my mind one way. I believe we're speaking of two different rests, but I believe they're connected. There is a rest given in verse 28, and it is a rest from something. It's a rest from the labor. It's a rest from being heavy laden. In salvation, it's a rest from sin. You and I come to Christ and we'll find rest from a lot of things. But then there's also a found rest. And you shall find, in verse 29, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There's a given rest. There's a found rest. To find is to discover. To find is a form of learning. You shall find rest unto your soul. I believe in verse 28 we have a rest from. And do we not all need a rest from some things? The way to find that is to come unto Christ. But what we have here in verse 29 is a rest in. It is a rest in the service of the Lord. And it is a rest after rest. Because we first must have the given rest of verse 28 before we can have this rest in verse 29. So there is a rest, and then there is a rest after that rest. And then, of course, if you want to get into eternity, there's yet another rest for you and I. But in salvation, we received a rest from. But now Jesus says there is, ye shall find rest unto your souls. I will give you rest comes before ye shall find rest. So, this is the verse 29 is the rest of one who has already received the rest of verse 28. But now he or she discovers a further rest. I will give you rest. Verse 28. And I believe verse 28, I will give you rest. Come unto me and I'll give you rest, puts us in a position where we can find rest. How many people today are looking for rest? And I've got news for you. They're not going to find it. Because you have to receive the rest of verse 28 before you can find the rest of verse 29. So there's an important order that is presented here. Oh, and how many children of God, we received rest from Christ and salvation. And how many children of God never find the rest that is spoken of in verse 29? They never do. They never find it. Galatians 5 verse 1 tells us that we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In salvation, we receive rest from Christ. But we all know far too well, we're all very familiar with the fact that it's easy to get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And therefore, we need to continue to come to Christ to get rest from. And that puts us in this position to find rest in. So where and how is this rest of verse 29 discovered? He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, yoke was a bar of wood curved to fit around the neck of an ox. And then there was a looping thing to put their heads in. And all of this was to link two oxen together for the purpose of effective work. Not just for the purpose of work, but for the purpose of effective work. Those who are laboring in verse 28 are not doing so effectively. So these two oxen are linked together for the purpose of effective work. The yoke is a figure of subjection. The force of the figure is perceived if we contrast in our mind oxen running loose in a field and oxen that are yoked together. There's a huge difference. In Job 11 and verse 2, we read that we are born like a wild ass's colt. That's how we're born. And what that means is that we are born unmanageable, self-willed, determined to have our own way. That's how we come into this world. I don't care how cute that baby is. They're born like a wild ass's colt. That's why they need training. That's why they need rules. That's why they need to be brought into subjection. They're self-willed. They're determined to have their own way. Sadly, some of God's people go back to that. Notice that when Christ refers to my yoke, it's not something that is laid upon us, but it's something we're to take upon ourselves. Take my yoke upon you. And it's after what we read in verse 28. There's an order. To take is to lay hold of. And it is something that you do on purpose. You take it. And you do so intentionally. And this is what Christ is saying. Take my yoke, that which typifies subjection to me. And you take that on purpose. And it's a specific act. Take my yoke. It is a personal act. Take my yoke upon you. So it is a personal surrender to His authority. It is a personal surrender to His government. To take Christ's yoke upon us signifies that we acknowledge that we need the yoke. It acknowledges that He is Lord. He is Master. And it is the setting aside of our own wills and our own ways and be completely submitted to His will and to His ways. That's what it means to take upon ourselves the yoke. Nothing short of that. Now, in yoking oxen together, typically they would take a stronger ox and a weaker, inexperienced ox. The stronger one will dominate and take control over the weaker one. And that stronger ox, more experienced ox, will take the leading role. Otherwise, the weaker ox would shift in the wrong direction, would start to wiggle and move out of control, trying to do his own thing. And though that ox was working, it wasn't working effectively. It had to be yoked to a stronger, a more experienced ox. Yoked to Christ is what we're to be. And it's voluntary. Yoked to Christ is a picture of practical union. Working together with Christ. When Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you," He's saying, "Surrender yourself to my lordship. Submit yourself to my rule. To such a degree that my rule becomes your rule. That you to submit to such a degree that you no longer struggle. You no longer wrestle against it. You're gladly yoked to the stronger ox." It signifies complete dependence. And I mean complete. It signifies unqualified obedience and unreserved submission unto Him. And He says, if you do this, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you. Just as our coming to Christ implies that we turn our back upon all that is opposed to Him, the taking of the yoke upon ourselves presupposes that we throw off the yoke of sin, that we throw off the yoke of Satan, that we throw off the yoke of self. Everybody is yoked to something. Everyone. And you can pretty much tell what you're yoked to, whether or not you have rest. Because if you're yoked to Christ, you shall find rest for your souls. So to take His yoke upon us means there's a change of masters. And it's a conscious change. And it's a cheerful change. This is where rest is found. This is where rest is found in the service of the Lord. Christ bids those who had labored, those who had become heavy laden, and they labored and they were heavy laden because they labored under the yoke of self. And He says, now that you've come to Me and you've received rest from these things, now you can have rest in My service. Verse 28, there's no rest in that labor. It produces heavy laden. But here is a labor. Take My yoke that results not in being heavy laden, but results in rest. So Christ, what he's doing here is introducing them to liberty in the service of the Lord. Service to God should never be a bondage. If it ever becomes a bondage, it's because you're wearing the wrong yoke. Yoke to Christ. We do not become weighted down. There's a liberty. There's a sense of freedom. When Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's bidding us to be united to him in service. Because that's why you yoke two oxen together, was to work, to serve. This is where rest is found. Yoked to Christ. Think about it. Yoked to Christ takes you to special places. It'll take you places that you'll never go yoked to self. If you lived during Christ's time on earth and you were yoked to Christ, that is, you went wherever Christ went, you'd have gone to a lot of special places. Not only that, you'd have seen a lot of special things. You'd have seen things that you'll never see yoked to self. And you know why people, I mean, miracles can happen right in front of them and they can't see it. Just like these people, Christ was right in front of them, they didn't know it. Because they're yoked to self. But if you're yoked to Christ, you see special things. You see things that you could not see otherwise. If you were yoked to Christ during Christ's earthly ministry, you would have seen Bartimaeus receive his sight. You'd have seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And on we could go. But yoked to Christ, you see wonderful things. Wonderful things. So this is not a yoke that causes us to be heavy laden. It's a yoke where we find rest for our souls. Yoked to Christ, you not only see amazing things, you see things differently. You see things from a completely different perspective. Yoke to Christ. Yoke to Christ, you live your life in relationship to him. You yoke two oxen together, they live in their life in relationship with one another. And if we're yoked to Christ, that means we live life in relationship to him. What is it that causes restlessness? Not living our life in relationship to him. That's what causes the restlessness. Exiling Christ. Banishing Christ. But if we're yoked to Christ, then we live our life in relationship to Christ. Christ goes this way. If we're yoked to him, we go this way. If Christ goes this way, if we're yoked to him, we go this way. If we're yoked to self, Christ goes this way, we're trying to go this way. And you pull a while. You spend your days pulling against Christ. And let's talk about being heavy laden. That'll wear you out. That'll result in restlessness. So yoke to Christ is a wonderful thing. I mean, life doesn't get any better than yoke to Christ. And keep in mind, this yoke is for the purpose of service. We find rest in service, yoked to Jesus Christ. Now notice what he adds in verse 29, and learn of me. Now notice the order. There's a specific order beginning with verse 28. And that order continues here in verse 29. It does not say, learn of me and take my yoke upon you. That's not what it says. That's not the order. That's not the order. The order is you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There is power in being yoked to Christ. Yoked to Jesus Christ, we are now in the place where we can learn Him. You be yoked to Christ, and now you're in a position where you can learn Him. Just like you come unto Christ, and now you're in a position to find rest in your work, and now that you take the yoke of Christ upon you, you're now in a position to learn Christ. Why is it that some can sit under the same preaching and teaching and never learn a thing? Never do. Never see anything. You say, well, the Lord has blinded them. That may be so. That may be true. Or it may be that they're not in a position to learn Christ because they're wearing the wrong yoke. Even sitting in a church service, sitting in a pew, it's not labor physically, but if you're not yoked to Christ and you're yoked to self, and every time Christ is preached, every time this book is preached, there you are. You're sitting in the pew. It looks like you're comfortable. It looks like you're relaxed, but you're pulling against Christ and you're getting more and more restless all the time. More and more restless all the time. Because you're not yoked in the proper way. Learn of me. Yoke to Christ is the place to learn. This is more than intellectual learning. This is a effectual, transforming learning. As you are yoked to Christ, the more conformed you become to Him. And notice what He says here in verse 29. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Voluntarily take His yoke upon you, and now you can learn of Him. And what lesson does He teach us? He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. You say, well, He teaches the lesson of meekness and humility. That's true, but it's more than that. He teaches His meekness, His humility. World of difference. Meekness is the opposite of self-will. It is the opposite of self-assertiveness. It is pliability. It is yielding. It is offering no resistance. It's just being clay in the potter's hands. Where do we learn this meekness? You learn it yoked to Christ. You won't learn it anywhere else. You won't learn the meekness of Christ yoked to self. You learn the meekness of Christ yoked to Christ. We also, He says, He's lowly in heart. That's the opposite of self-esteem. That's the opposite of self-righteousness. Yoked to Christ, we learn not to esteem ourselves. Yoked to Christ, we learn that our righteousness is filthy rags. You'll never become a Pharisee yoked to Christ. It's not possible. You become a Pharisee by being yoked to religion. You become a Pharisee by being yoked to self, not by being yoked to Christ. Nothing negative comes from being yoked to Jesus Christ. This is where rest is found, in His service. Yoked to Him, learning His meekness, His humility. Being yoked to Christ will not cause you to labor and be heavy laden. And here's why. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy. That's what he said. My yoke is easy. Yoked to Christ, His service, His work, as long as we're yoked to Him, is not oppressive. It's not oppressive. It's not irksome. It's not grueling. Serving the Lord should never be punishing. We read there in verse 28 again, labor and heavy laden. Serving God should never be punishment. Never. And it won't be if you're yoked to Christ. But you try doing the service of God yoked to self. It's punishing labor. It'll weigh you down. It'll kill you eventually. Spiritually. Maybe physically. Yoked to Christ, His yoke is easy. He also, being yoked to Christ, will not cause us to be heavy laden. And the reason, he says, my burden is light. You notice the contrast between verse 30 and verse 28. Labor, and he says, my yoke, my labor is easy. Talks about being heavy laden, and he says, my burden is light. My burden is light. What was his burden? Well, that was the master passion of his life. It's his aim, it's his motive, it's his impulse, the reason for doing everything he did. The reason for going where he went. The reason for saying what he said. And what was it that drove Jesus Christ? What was his burden? I delight to do thy will. That was his burden. His burden was to live for the honor and glory of God. There's rest in that. If you labor, well, I don't want people to think wrong of me, so I'll do this. That'll wear you out. Because people are fickle. And what they approve one day, they may not approve the next. You're going to have to change all the time. It'll wear you out. Living to please people will just wear you completely out. Living your life to impress others will wear you out. But living simply because this is what God wants me to do and I'm doing it for His honor and for His glory. There's rest in that. There's rest for our soul in that. And that's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When you take his yoke and you learn of him, ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's deep rest. He's not talking about physical rest. He's talking about a spiritual rest that goes down into the depth of our souls. And it's related to a yoke. So it is a rest in labor. It is a rest while we're laboring. It is a rest while we're working. So the service of Christ, if we're yoked to Him, and if we're yoked to Him, we're learning Him. We're learning more and more every day to be meek and to be humble. And there's rest there. There's wonderful, wonderful rest. Yoke to Christ. Yoke to Christ. It will be your passion to do His will. That'll be your passion. So my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We don't see drudgery here. We see drudgery in verse 28. Labor and heavy laden. But in verse 29 and 30, there's no drudgery here. It's taking upon the service of God and finding rest. Why is it that so many of God's people fight so hard against submitting to God? I understand it's because of their depraved nature. I understand that. But why the continual struggle? Why the continual battle of just turning it over to God and taking His yoke upon us? Because we believe that our way is better than His way. Now, you've got to be quite a fool to believe that His way is better than your way and still go your way. Now, that is plain stupidity. So, either you don't have a lot up here, and if you can honestly say, yes, I believe His way is better, but I'm going to go this way. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. The root of the matter is you believe your way is better. The root of the matter is you're scared of His way. You're afraid that His way may cause you drudgery and cause you to be heavy laden. His way will not cause drudgery. His yoke will not cause drudgery. His yoke will not cause misery. His yoke is where you find rest for your soul. Where we find drudgery is resisting His yoke. Refusing to take His yoke. Refusing it. Or take it for a few minutes and then set it aside. That's where the misery comes in. That's where the restlessness comes in. Every day we need to pray, Lord, help me to take Your yoke. Help me, Lord, to be yoked to Christ. There's nothing depressing about being yoked to Jesus Christ. I think of Martha. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. We'll not turn there, but we read, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. It's not that she didn't serve. She was serving. And she was serving Christ. But she was doing it wrong. She was doing it wrong. Well, how do you know she was doing it wrong? Because she was cumbered about. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and you shall find rest for your souls. She and her serving. What that means is when it says that she was cumbered about, it means that she was heavy laden. Just like those we read of here in verse 28. She was heavy laden in her service. Jesus said to her in Luke 10, verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was serving, but she sure didn't have rest. There is a rest in serving God. Mary, on the other hand, she was happy. She just sitting at the feet. Jesus. Yoked to Christ. Finding rest. So you have two individuals in the exact circumstances. Christ is in their house. One is happy. One is miserable. It's because they were both serving. But one did it correctly and one didn't. And that's where it is today. Yoked to Christ, there is sweet, deep rest for our souls. even in the midst of battle and trial and difficulty. You know, many times, I'm not talking physically, there are times when I'm worn out. Worn out. Why? Well, it's because we're human and that's what happens. No, it's much more than that. That's what happens when we try to do it in our own strength. Because I still believe, verse 29, if we take His yoke, we'll find rest for our souls. So when we find ourselves weary in the service of God, and I'm not talking physically, when we find ourselves weary in the service of God, we need to be honest enough to say, Lord, it's obvious because of the results that I'm not yoked to You. I'm serving in the yoke of self. You realize, and Mary and Martha is a good example, you can serve Christ and yet your service take you further from God. People have this strange idea that as long as they're doing something for the Lord, that makes them close to God. Prove that by Scripture. Mary and Martha proved just the opposite. Serving God, yet one is really getting further from the Lord. Serving the Lord and not enjoying Christ. It's very easy. I struggle with it all the time. It's very easy in our service to God to lose focus of who we're serving. But being yoked to Him, we never lose focus of who we're serving. So God help us to take upon us the yoke of Christ. Don't be afraid of it. What you ought to fear is the yoke of self, the yoke of sin, the yoke of Satan. Everywhere we go, we see the casualties of those who've lived life yoked to themselves. But look at those who are yoked to Christ. There's a rest. They go places that will never go unyoked to Christ. They see things. They can open this book and see wonderful things that you will never see yoked to self. So we need to examine our lives. Where are we yoked today? And I'll say this. Yoked to Christ will never take you into a bar. Christ don't go there. Yoke to Christ isn't going to take you to the hog pen. You get to the hog pen, it's not because you were yoked to Christ. Yoke to Christ will spare you from a lot of trouble. Will spare us from a lot of heartache. Take my yoke upon you. What gracious words. What merciful words. What words filled with the goodness of God. God cares for His children. And out of that concern for you and I, He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. That's the solution. Come unto Me. And you'll find, in doing so, you'll find rest from a lot of things. But now that you've come unto Him, He says, take My yoke. Take My yoke upon you. And when you do that, you can learn of Me. You can learn My meekness. You can learn My humility. And when you learn these things, you find rest for your souls. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse songs.